One of the great blessings of the week, a time where we have abundance. And many of us are unaware of it, but I just want to encourage you to join us on a Wednesday night if you can. Because as we are walking through the book of Corinthians, the letter of 1 Corinthians, Dion, as she leads us, is giving us such incredible insight. I sang to Judy the other day, I said, I can't remember when I last was so excited about a Bible study. It's a gift to be able to do a Bible study like that. But the insights that we get and the little group that's there is always blessed, always encouraged. And I want to say to you, if you're free on a Wednesday night, just come. Just come. You will be blessed at our Bible study, 7:30. Dion is a blessing to us, and she's going to read the word for us now. Dion, if you'd come up. Psalm 65. This psalm is the psalm that we've agreed together is the psalm that we want to embrace as a church for this year. And particularly verse 11 of the psalm. But today we're looking at the psalm, and it's my prayer that we will touch the garment of heaven and receive the blessing of the psalm in a way that only God can give us. So as Dion brings the psalm to us, if you've got your Bibles, please open to it. We'll look at it as well. Thank you, Dion.
Reading today is Psalm 65 in Church Bible 6, page 660. It's page 660, Psalm 65. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide an atonement for them. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds in righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation. You who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of the far-off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power, you who will still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. They also who dwell in the farthest parts are afraid of your signs, you making the outgoings of the morning and evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it, you greatly enrich it, the river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop off the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. The banner, the great banner over Psalm 65 is the verse 11. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. Another way of translating that could be, and your paths overflow with abundance. And today, as we look at the psalm, as we read the psalm, as we consider the psalm, it is my hope that in some way we can reach out, as it were, to heaven and touch, as it were, the garments of heaven and receive the blessing of the psalm into our lives, into our church, into our community. So that we engage by grace with the words of this precious psalm in a way that will transform us and will empower us and encourage us. It's kind of like when I was a child in our school. I was in a club called the Young Farmers Club. And it was a rural school in Zimbabwe, and they would teach us, one of the things they taught us in the Young Farmers Club was how to read the clouds. Because what would happen in that part of our country, Mashonaland, in the eastern part of Mashonaland, is that the clouds would develop into rain clouds, but the high wind gusts would sweep the rain clouds away back into the Mozambique Channel. And what we needed to do was find a way to get the rain cloud to fall on the farm so that it would water the harvest, water the crops. And they taught us, even at the age of 10, how to do simple calculus, how to read which cloud, for example, was a nimbus cumulus cloud developing, which cloud had water and was holding water, and then how to see the direction of the cloud, what cloud was coming towards the farm. And then we had rockets, like firework rockets. And inside the rockets, they had we called it cloud seeding, like special kind of metal pellets. And what we would have to try and do was work out where the cloud was heading, when it would be over the land that we wanted it to fall on, and shoot the rocket into the cloud so that it would seed the water, make it heavy enough that the water would fall on the land before the wind blew it back into the Mozambique Channel. And it was a lot of fun. And sometimes we'd get it wrong, but sometimes when we got it right, it was so exciting. It's a little bit like that with God's Word. There's a sense in which the Word of God is filled with rain, it's filled with abundance, it's there to water the dryness of our hearts and bring life to our lives, spiritually strengthen and encourage us. But sometimes the gusts of the world, the gusts of pressure, the pressure of life sweep those clouds way past, and we look at it, we see it, we try and get it, but it's not being received, because it's swept away before we can even think about the word. A little bit like the parable of the sower and the seed. And today it is my hope and my prayer that we won't let that happen, that we will take the psalm and that we will cloud seed it, and that it will fall on us like rain. That we will hear something in this precious word today that will transform our spiritual lives, encourage us in our walk, and strengthen us as God's people and as God's church. Another way of engaging, another kind of picture, if you were, word picture, of what I hope we will receive today is like what happened last week. We were working outside, gradually getting ready for the outside section of the bin collection area of our church, and we had to put the lightning rod down at ground level. The people who do all that and know about that needed to help us put it down, because it was standing up in the middle, and the way it needed to be now was down on the ground at the ground level. And the man that came and helped us to do it, the electrician, was telling me, and I was saying, I guess this is so that if there's a lightning strike, the church will be protected, because there are a couple of lightning rods, and, And he was checking them out and everything for us to make sure they're working properly. And he said, no, it's not just like that. He said, yes, in part, if there's a lightning strike, it will be directed to the rod and it will be taken. But he said, when it comes to a lightning strike and a strike hits that much, it will still damage the church. He said, part of what happens with the lightning rod, and I didn't understand this, and I didn't know about this, is that he says, when a cloud filled with static electricity drifts over the church, or there's not even a cloud, but he said a charge could develop, the atmosphere around the church could create an electric charge. When lightning strikes, the lightning starts at the base, and it sets up a charge going up into the sky. And then when it reaches in the sky, a double bolt of electricity up in the sky, they connect, and the lightning comes down on what has already gone up. And then the lightning comes down and it blasts with its great power from the cloud and the lightning in the atmosphere. It blasts the point of the beginning of the charge. And he says, what the lightning rods do is when there's static light electricity going off, he said, you don't even know it. He said, it draws that down. And it prevents, if it's working properly, sometimes it's too strong and it can't always prevent. But he says, a lot of the time, it prevents the charge from even going up because it's getting caught and it's charging into the earth. Isn't that interesting? And he said, in a way, that is more a prevention than a cure. And in a way, that is kind of what should be happening when we read God's word. We should be a lightning rod. And when we read it, there's like a charge of power, a charge of godly electricity, if you will. And it shouldn't just be waiting for that great moment when there's some powerful event that shatters our lives. It should be happening all the time. We should be drawing the charge into our hearts, the charge of God's word. We should be a lightning rod daily, receiving the power of God's word, not just like a cloud looking at it as it blows over, but we should be receiving the blessing of that rain, the blessing of that charge. And to do that, we need to be like a lightning rod with our hands stuck in the sky, waiting and receiving the charge as it goes, so that there's a continual receiving of God's blessing, of God's word. We need to receive God's blessing, and to do that, we've got to come before God. It's not enough just to come to church, and it's not enough just to say, look, I'm coming and I'm singing a few choruses and I'm going away and, that was a precious sermon. It's not enough to do that. We've got to receive. We've got to embrace our Lord. We've got to embrace Him daily. We've got to receive His blessing daily. It's a little bit like the prodigal son. The prodigal son had a father who was blessed with wealth and provision. The prodigal son had messed up. We know that. And he had run off. And he had squandered everything that he had been given. And he came to his senses one day sitting in a pigsty, eating the food that was given to the pigs. And he said, in my father's house, if the servants are treated better than these, if I go, maybe he'll let me even be a servant. I'll be better off than being in this pigsty. And he got up and he headed back. And we see that beautiful illustration of when the father sees him, he runs to his son and he embraces him. And he gets his best robe and he kills the fatted calf and he has a feast over his son who was lost and now is found. And he embraces him. In a way, we need to be like that son. We need to embrace our father. We need to come to him. We need to ask his forgiveness and we need to reach out. And we do that when we come to the word of God. But the question is, how do we receive the blessing of the psalm? It's like a cloud going over. It's like static electricity. How can we reach it? How can we draw it into our lives? That's the question. Well, Psalm 65 kind of answers that question a little bit. Because it says, at the beginning of the psalm, It says, firstly, we become that rocket that seeds the clouds and lets the rain fall on us. We become the lightning rod that receives the current of God's favor and blessing. When we praise God, the current of God's blessing comes when we learn and practice praise to God. Look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, through the vow of praise. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. Through the vow of praise. Another way of saying that is through the shout of praise, because the people would come together, and together they would collectively as a nation vow to God in a shout of praise their commitment to God. And it is in that vow of praise, in that worship, in that praise to God, in the shout of praise to God, that they get lifted, that they connect, and that there is this connection with God's glory, God's word, God's work in our lives. There's something about the shout of praise that echoes right through the Old and the New Testament that shows us what it means. There will sometimes be times in our lives where there is a barrier between us and God's promised blessing. God wants us to live in the promised land of His abundance. God doesn't want us to be hurting and shallowly struggling to hold on to Him with our fingernails. He wants us to be blessed, holding on to Him, embraced by Him in the hug of God's love, like the father hugging the prodigal son. He wants us to be filled with the blessing of heaven. He says He wants to crown the year with goodness, and in His paths overflowing are the blessings of God. He wants us to walk in the overflowing blessing of God. But in order to do that, we need to touch Him. We need to embrace Him. We need to receive His words. And to do that, we do it in a form of a vow of praise, of a shout of praise. We need to become a people who learn how to shout the praises to God. I see it when Joshua was trying to get into the promised land. We all know the story of Jericho. And we all know that Jericho, this great fortified city, stood between the people of God and the abundance of God's blessing. And we all see how Joshua took the people, and he walked them around. Every day they would walk right around this great city in quietness and silence, perhaps in prayer. There's a place for silent prayer. Quietly, without saying a word, they would walk quietly. There's a time for closet prayer, a time for intercession. And then on the seventh day, they went around seven times in quietness. But once they had completed the seventh time, they all stood together. The trumpets sounded. The instruments played. The drums belted out. And the people shouted to God a shout of triumph, a shout of praise. And the vow of praise was given to God. And what happened was, as they shouted, something amazing happened to that which was blocking them. There's something about the shout of praise to God's people in the spiritual fight that carries us forward. Even when you go to a massive stadium game, for example, those who've had the opportunity to do that, a football game. I remember going, I'll never forget the 1995 Rugby World Cup when South Africa were playing New Zealand in the final, and I was there at Ellis Park Stadium in Johannesburg. And just when the New Zealand team came out, and you know how they do that war dance at the beginning, right at that time a great big jumbo jet came over from the South African Airways, which had in the language, good luck for the Springboks. And it came so low. Only in Africa would they let a plane fly that low over a stadium. It was politically incorrect, I'll tell you now. It was so low. But it was roaring so loud that you could feel the warmth of the jet engines, and the stadium shook as this plane came over. And then the shout, the roar of the crowd carried that Springbok team onto the field. And there was a big guy, a giant, a kind of Goliath called Jonah Lomo, who right through the competition had just run through everybody. The week before, he ran through England, like knocking them down like Skittles. And their game plan was to give the giant the ball and run. But when the giant was given the ball on that day, when I was there, the roar of the crowd took even the smallest guy on the field, Just the scrum half, and he brought down the giant. That roar carried him, and it brought down the giant. I remember once going to Twickenham when they were playing South Africa, and I went out to get a hot dog and a Coke because the game was kind of mediocre, and I thought, well, I'll go quickly. I'll be back just before half time. And when I was out, the crowd, the Twickenham Stadium, erupted in a roar. I was outside, but I knew something good was happening for England because the roar was responding to the crowd. Well, it's like that in the church. It's like that in the spiritual battle. And when the roar of God's people shout to God, the vow of praise, the shout of praise, they connect with God's promise. They connect with God's glory, and the walls of Jericho came crumbling down. And so whatever is in your way, whatever is blocking you, whatever is stopping you receiving the abundant blessing of God, whatever's deep down there, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands, Psalm 46 says. All you people, and shout unto God with a voice of praise and triumph. And the walls will come tumbling down, and the Jericho that is preventing you from receiving the abundant blessing of God will be wiped out by God's glory. God, the shout will carry you through. The shout of praise. The shout of praise. The vow of praise will take you to another place. And as we seek to embrace the words of the psalm this morning, we need to see there, it says it, to you, Lord, will be a vow, a shout, and it shall be given to you. Even in heaven, in Revelation, at the end of the age, you see it, don't you? In Revelation 19, it says there that there will be a myriad of people saved by the blood of the Lamb, standing together in glory. And as the Lamb comes forward in Revelation 19, the people of all nations, saved by grace, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, will stand before the Lord and they will say, hallelujah to you, Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb who was slain. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor will be to you, Lord, as the glory of heaven comes to bring a close to this battle against sin. And once and for all, righteousness will be established in eternity. It will be with a shout of praise that the people will receive the final glory. Amen? As we seek to consider that word, you crown the year with your goodness and your paths overflow or drip with abundance. We need to praise God. The Bible talks about praising Him with song, praising Him with timbrels, praising Him with trumpets, praising Him with voices and singing. But we need to praise God. We need to praise Him in our homes. We need to get back and put on our praise tapes. This morning, we were listening to these beautiful praise tapes. Well, that's what we should be listening to in our homes, in our cars, in our iPods on the way to work. Let's get back to a place of praise in this new year. Bring praise back into your heart, into your life. Rejoice in the Lord. Praise God. Play your praise tapes. Sing along in the shower to the praise God. No one cares how loud you sing in the shower. The Lord says, sing. Praise Him. Praise Him from your heart, and you will begin to understand what it means to you to be walking with the abundance of God's blessing on your heart and in your life. Not only is that how we connect, how we draw on the electricity of God's blessing, on the rain cloud of God's pouring out on our dry hearts and our dry lives. Not only is the praise the way we do, but it's in a prayer that is a sincere prayer. It says, when you heard our prayer. I think sometimes there's prayer that is said that is acknowledged, but is not necessarily heard. What's the difference? Well, I think sometimes when we stand up routinely and we just pray without thinking, I think sometimes that prayer is acknowledged. It has perhaps some strength, but it's like a dull axe. But the righteous prayer, the fervent prayer, by fervent it means the heartfelt prayer. The prayer, the cry of the heart of a righteous man, someone who is righteous by God's grace and is seeking to walk right before God. The righteous man or woman who prays with fervor, with a desire to break through into the very throne of God, who will pray the breakthrough prayer, that prayer will be heard. I remember with Pastor Kevin McGinnis, one of my friends who was a youth pastor with me when I was a young Christian, and we were trying to establish around a Sunday school the planting of a church in the hillside area of Harare in Zimbabwe. And I remember one day we were fasting and we were praying and we knelt down and we prayed and we called on God to hear our prayer because we were knocking on doors, inviting people to come to this new church that we were trying to get going. And I remember we prayed for an hour, 2 hours, crying before God, praying before God, pleading before God. And then after about the third hour, as we were kneeling, praying, calling on God to help us build this church, it was a sense that God had heard our prayer. I don't know how to describe it. But I felt God had heard the prayer. And that's how we should be praying to God in this century, in this generation, in this new decade. We should be praying a prayer that is a breakthrough prayer. We should be getting down on our knees and praying until we know that God has heard the prayer of his people. The prayer for revival, the prayer for blessing, for abundance of spiritual love, of the word of God, the spiritual knowledge of God, the heart of God, the blessing of God, and the abundance that comes in walking in the paths of God that overflow with abundance. But it comes with heard prayer, not just glib prayer, not just light prayer. There's a place for that, don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about prayer that is heard, that engages us, that brings us to that connection where we receive the electricity of God's grace, of God's words. So not only is it praise, real praise, powerful praise, a shout of praise that gives us great confidence before God and takes away the obstacles of us reaching the blessing and the abundance of God's promised land in our lives on a daily basis. It's the prayer, the fervent prayer, the righteous prayer. Prayer of a righteous person who's right with Christ. That breaks us through to that place. There's a third way, though. And the third way is perhaps the most critical. It comes in verse 4. Charles Spurgeon said this when he was speaking to his students in Bible college. This is what he said. He said this. He said, if I come to listen to you in your church, talking to his students at the First Spurgeon's Bible College, if I come and listen to you, and if I don't hear or see the cross in your sermon, then, sir, go back and start again. Go back and start again. No Christ in your sermon, sir. No cross in your sermon, sir. Then you need to go back and start again. And he's talking to his students. And what he was saying is whether you are in the Old or the New Testament, You need to look and see where Christ is in that passage. And here in Psalm 65 and verse 4, you find Christ, where it says, there is a plan. Blessed is the man you choose. Never forget, God chose us. We are a people who are elected. We are God's elect people. There is nothing we did to choose God. And because there's nothing we did to choose God, by God's grace, there's nothing we can do to lose the salvation that God has given us. If we crash, if we like the prodigal son, we need to be rescued. We'll get through like a man just saved, holding on to the cross itself. But nothing on earth will separate us from the love of God if God, Christ has chosen you and has redeemed you by his grace. Says it right there. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may what? Dwell in your courts, and we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. And then we go on to the next verse. By awesome deeds and righteousness you will answer us, O God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far off seas. And we go on to the next verse. Who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power. This verse tells us that we are God's blessed and chosen people. God is the God of our salvation. And it is in that place that he has made a plan of atonement. God has given us, let's look at verse 3. Let's just go back to 3. Just before those beautiful verses that we've just looked at. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. There it is, in verse 3, the cross of Christ, the hope of our salvation. There it is in the Old Testament, in Psalm 65, you will provide atonement for our transgressions. And so not only through praise and the shout of praise to God will we sweep away the obstacles to our walking with the blessing and abundance of God's overflowing joy. Not only through the prayer of brokenness and crying out to God, reaching God so that our prayer is heard in the very throne room of heaven, will we receive God's outpouring and blessing and revival in our midst, in our church, and in our own lives, but also a clear, fully clear understanding that it is God who has made a way where there was no way, who has died for my sins and taken my sins upon himself and provided an atonement. I walk free in Christ. I no longer am in chains. I no longer am in bondage to the devil and his lies. I'm no longer in fear of death and of what this dark world has for me. No, I now walk in the atoning grace of God, with light and life and hope over me. I can't be the same anymore when I walk out of church, because God's atoning grace has given me a way through the cross of Christ itself. No Christ in your sermon, sir. Go home and try again. I'd say no Christ in your daily life. Go back. Get to the cross. Find yourself there, thanking God for his atonement and for your salvation. Amen. And so, as we see the, if you'd call the theological, the biblical truth, the foundation of our hope in those first few verses, we see that there's a practical outpouring that comes when we reach that place, when we discover what it is to shout the vow of praise with confidence, when we walk in the knowledge of our salvation with the atonement of God, with the confidence of salvation that God has given us, when we have discovered that, when we are on that place, we see something else happen. The psalm that we're looking at today is a psalm that describes the river of God. It's as if our church, if we can find the confidence of that psalm, the confidence of that teaching, and bring it in and engage with it and become part of it, then we will be like a river, a blessing. And in a way, there's a practical blessing, first of all. There is a river that comes in the psalm that talks about God wants to bless us with abundant rain, and the river of God will be full of water. And you get the sense that he's covering the land with rain and blessing and softening the soil, and that these crops are growing. And you get the sense that God is physically watering and blessing his people. And I believe that God wants to bless us abundantly. And that when we walk in righteousness, God blesses the land. He blesses the people. We see it in the Old Testament. We see it even in the New, that God will bless the people as they seek to serve him faithfully. God will bless the church that seeks to serve him faithfully, that walks with joy and confidence, where callousness and coldness and sin and gossip has no place. But it's a church that seeks to reach others for Christ. I was just reading that yesterday. The difference between an outgoing church and a reactive church. And the reactive church tends to just want to keep things as they've always been, kind of play it safe. But the church that's outgoing wants to reach the community for Christ, wants to bring people in, wants to pray as a church that's actively involved in prayer and praise and outreach. It's interesting. Psalm 65 fits that. We want to be that church in 2020. We want to be bringing our neighbors in, knocking on the doors, inviting people. We want this church to be full to overflowing. But as we get towards that, God wants to bless us abundantly, physically with abundance. We want to be a people that are giving. Giving so that God can use this church to his glory. And not only that, we find that there's a sense in which the rivers of God drip with abundance, overflow with abundance. God wants us to receive the overflowing grace of God, the overflowing word of God, the overflowing provision of God, the overflowing joy of God. There will be rivers of gladness where God's river flows. From Ezekiel's vision, there will be a river of life. Wherever that river goes in the desert, it will bring life and abundance, even into the Dead Sea of London and the community and the politics of the city at this time. If we are a river that is filled with God's love and grace and abundance, we will bring life where we go. People will look at our church and see life and will receive life and drink life when they come to this place. Because God is the river of life. God is our river. And we need to walk in it. We need to swim in it. We need to drink of it. The river of God's life and overwhelming abundance. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh Lord, you do. You crown the year with your goodness. And your paths overflow with abundance. Let us be a church, Lord, that walks in this precious truth in this year. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close now. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're going to close now as we sing a beautiful hymn. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice.